Welcome in to the Just Above Average podcast. I am your host, Dominic. This will be the 7th episode, and it will be our official election prediction video for both the presidential race as well as the U.S. Senate races around the country. We'll go through in a method that I think will kind of follow election night. We're going to go by poll closings from east to west and kind of go through state by state and see where the election takes us. But that is the pretty much main and only topic here on this episode of the Just Above Average podcast. Before we get to the prediction section, I'm going to talk a little bit about the other news of the week, just real briefly, and that was the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Not too much to talk about. It went about as expected. It went a little faster than I expected it to. I thought it would go until after the election day, but I never had any doubts as to whether she was going to be confirmed or not with the Senate in GOP hands for the moment. But there was one comment made by Senator Lindsey Graham about how Ruth Bader Ginsburg got 97 confirmation votes and how justices used to get a whole bunch of confirmation votes. And he said, "I don't know what changed." And just for everyone out there, I have the answer to that because it's not a rhetorical question. There is a legitimate probably answer, and that is Mitch McConnell. When Mitch McConnell took over as majority slash minority leader, depending on when he was, where he was in the Senate, the partisan antics over Supreme Court nominations blew up. And it's mostly due to his leadership and his style in political gamesmanship. So the answer is Mitch McConnell. He is the reason why the Senate is dysfunctional and has been for the past decade or so. There's no way around it. He's very good at what he does. He gets his priorities across the finish line and stonewalls Democratic priorities with efficiency, but that is the answer to the question, what happened? As we start the election night predictions, I am going to kind of preface it with the fact that I think there are three scenarios that can go down on election day, starting with the fact that in 2016, there were 131 million votes. We already have seen 66 million votes cast already in early voting. Pretty much all projections say we're going to reach 150 plus million votes in this election, which is the most of all time, best turnout, et cetera, et cetera. The question becomes, who are these voters? Who are they voting for? And where are they? Are they in swing states? Or are they simply adding to the margins in red or blue states? So that's kind of one of the big things. Also going to rewind to a couple episodes ago where we talked about how the third party share of the vote was extremely high for the presidential election in 2016. And we're not expected to see those same high levels of third party numbers, so we're wondering where those votes go. If you were in a coma or just don't remember, there were a bevy of super close states that are swing states this time around. There were four states in the upper Midwest that were all won by less than a point. Michigan by 0.2, New Hampshire by 0.37, Pennsylvania by 0.72, and Wisconsin by 0.77. Those four states kind of hold the electoral key to either side winning. But there's a whole bevy of other states that were all within 10 points and are considered kind of battleground. That would be Florida, Minnesota, Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District, Nevada, Maine, Arizona, North Carolina, Colorado, and Virginia, but not really because they're kind of still moving to the left. But then also the 5 to 10 point range is Georgia, Ohio, Texas, and Iowa. So that's kind of where 2016 was. It's kind of like the baseline from where we're going to be predicting from. Getting back to the three scenarios, if Biden just moves 2 percentage points of 2 out of 100 people from the Trump camp or the third party camp to his column, it'll become a rout. He'll win Michigan, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida, Minnesota, you know, the whole gambit of swing states. He'll win those if he just flips 2 out of 100 people, which on its face doesn't sound like a lot, but you'd be surprised just how hard it is to move some of the electorate, especially in a re-election campaign. But before we get to the predictions, I am going to fit in an ad break, and when we come back, we will start with the first poll closings on the East Coast. So, I laid out the first scenario, which was a Biden sweep of a lot of states, just based on winning 1 or 2% more, or flip votes of the third party, or Trump voters. The other two scenarios are kind of similar, won't really matter until the very end of this prediction, and that it'll be close one way or the other. So the first state or territory, rather, that closes its polls will be Puerto Rico. And I'm listing all these times in Central Time, so just so you're not confused, because I live in Missouri and we live in Central Time. But 4 o'clock, Puerto Rico doesn't have any electoral votes, but there will be a critical statehood vote in the territory of Puerto Rico that will become a pretty big issue. I expect it to pass just because all the other referendums and things have seen statehood be the preference for most Puerto Ricans. But this is the first one that has the kind of official backing, and they have promised to abide by its results. So we'll see if Puerto Rico actually gets to start their march towards statehood. But 5 o'clock will be the first states in the Electoral College that see polls close. Both Indiana and Kentucky will see their Eastern time zone polls close. They both, in both those states, have pockets and segments that are still in Central time, so we won't see the states called yet. But those are the first two states that will have some polls close. I'm not going to predict anything until the entire state closes their polls, and they probably won't either. But the first hour where we should have some states called will be 6 o'clock. Most of the state of Florida will close, but the panhandle. The rest of Indiana and Kentucky will close, South Carolina, Virginia, Vermont, and Georgia. So let's kind of go through here both the Electoral College and any relevant Senate races. In the state of Indiana and Kentucky, Indiana does not have a Senate race. Mitch McConnell will win re-election in that Senate race. South Carolina Senate race, Mark Warner is cruising to re-election against a weak opponent. Vermont, no Senate. The state of Georgia. And this one's going to be super interesting to watch. I have both of these at lean Republican, but I have a suspicion that both will not be outright winners, because in the state of Georgia, in statewide and federal elections, not the presidential level though, you have to win 50% plus one in order to win the election outright, or the top two vote getters will move on to a runoff election 9 weeks after Election Day, which will be January 5th. So well into the next Congress already when they're sworn in on January 3rd. But the regular election is David Perdue versus John Ossoff. And also there's a Libertarian on the ballot. So I think this is probably the one Democrats have a better chance of winning. But I think it is very probable, maybe, that if Perdue doesn't clear that 50% threshold, it'll be due to that Libertarian on the ballot. I think it could be like a 49-47 2% for the Libertarian candidate. And then the same thing kind of goes for the special election there. There's like 15 candidates all on the ballot at the same time. It's a jungle primary. They will all be on the same ballot. Nobody's going to reach 50% in that one. It'll probably go between Ralph Warnock and then one of the two kind of major Republican candidates into the runoff. So that's why I think both of them are probably lean at the moment, just because there's a chance that Ossoff pulls off the upset and gets to that 50%. But I think probably both of those in January would go Republican. So as soon as Election Day happens, if Democrats don't clear 50%, I'm probably moving both of those to likely Republican. I'm not going to do anything with Florida just because their panhandle hasn't closed yet. But in the Electoral College, yeah, Indiana's going red, Kentucky's going red, Virginia's going blue, Vermont is going blue, and I think the state of Georgia will go red. I know Democrats have been hoping to make a play for the state of Georgia, but I'm just not convinced that it is going to happen. So, as of the 6 o'clock hour poll closings, I have it at 35 electoral votes for Trump, 16 for Biden, and in the Senate race, where we see, let me clear out some of these real fast, but yeah, so I should have mentioned this before we start. Before any of these seats in the Senate, there were 35 up for election. That is the 33 normal and two special elections, one in Georgia, one in Arizona. Democrats held 35 seats. So that's the bare minimum they could hold, and 34 Republicans. So the 35 seats, 50-50 tie goes to a VP breaking the tiebreaker. But yeah, so after the kind of first round of poll closings, the Democrats will have 36 Senate seats and Republicans will have 34. Oddly, the next poll closings will be at 6:30, and that is three states, North Carolina, Ohio, and West Virginia. I'm going through the Senate first. West Virginia hold Republican. There is no Senate race in Ohio. And the state of North Carolina does have a uber competitive Senate race. Cal Cunningham versus Tom Tillis. Cunningham was smashing his way through this race until allegations of marital infidelity came into play. But on Cunningham's side is the fact that the governor, Democrat Roy Cooper, is also on the ballot, and he is the kind of consummate good guy in politics. He, if you remember, he is the guy who took over the Duke lacrosse case where those lacrosse players were falsely accused of sexual assault. So he's seen as far a fair person, and a lot of indications are showing that he is going to kind of drag some of the North Carolina Democrats along with him, and that will be the first flip that the Democrats will need in order to take back the Senate. I am predicting Cal Cunningham to beat Tom Tillis in North Carolina. As for the presidential level, West Virginia is going to go red. I think the state of Ohio does as well. That being, Sherrod Brown is a uber popular Democratic senator. He ran in 2018 and did not win by nearly as much as I or many others anticipated against an opponent who didn't really raise any money or didn't have much backing. So I think the state of Ohio is much more red than a lot of people think. And then I'm going to leave North Carolina at a toss-up for the presidential race. And we'll get back to it at the end when we see how things are closer to shaking out. The 7 o'clock hour, we'll see Florida and a whole bunch of other states: Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Missouri, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Washington, D.C., New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania, and Maine. All of those states will close their polls at 7 o'clock Central Time. And also Florida will close their polls as well. Florida is the state that I'm going to be watching earliest in the night because they have to report their early vote within 30 minutes of those polls closing. And throughout the Sun Belt in the South, they will count their votes, the early votes first, and then apply the election day votes as they start counting them. That is in contrast to in the upper Midwest, the Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania's, where they will count election day first and then bring in the early vote after that. So in the South, you'll see a strong Biden start. And in the North Midwest, you'll see a strong Trump start. And you'll see both of those kind of level out in the opposite directions as the votes that are more favorable to them come in various states. So I am leaving Florida as a toss-up. I am putting, let's see here, Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Missouri, all in Trump's column. I am clicking through here on the 538 predictor. And see, so Connecticut and Delaware and Illinois and Massachusetts and Maryland and New Jersey and Rhode Island and Washington, D.C., all for Joe Biden. Also, I think that we will see New Hampshire and Pennsylvania both be too close to call, so I'm leaving those. But Maine, which is a special case here, the state of Maine will go to Joe Biden as well as the first district of Maine. Those are the first district is so Democratic that it carries the whole state, while the second district of Maine is more of a toss-up and more favorable to Trump. But for now, I am going to give Biden the Maine state and the first district. So after those, I am leaving New Hampshire and Pennsylvania, both of those in the toss-up category till the end. I will fill in the Senate races, but and the Electoral College at the moment, trying to make sure I didn't miss any states here, but I have the vote count at 110 for Trump and 91 for Joe Biden. On the Senate side, I filled in kind of all the red and blue states as I saw. Most of them are not competitive. In Alabama, Republicans are going to flip that seat. Remember, Doug Jones won that special election at the end of 2017 against Roy Moore. Tommy Tuberville, former Auburn coach, is going to flip that seat despite a lot of people having hopes for Doug Jones being able to hold the seat. Both Maine and New Hampshire. New Hampshire was a state that was super close in 2016, but Republicans didn't really put up a very strong challenger in the Senate race, so Jeanine Shaheen should win re-election there. In the state of Maine, just came out today that one of the third-party independent candidates is going to advocate her voters move to Sarah Gideon, that is the Democratic challenger to Susan Collins in Maine. In Maine, they have ranked choice voting, which means you kind of put, I want to vote this person, and then if that person doesn't make it to the next round, then this person. So with that, if, say, two-thirds of the 5% of that voters, that candidate's votes go to Gideon, that'll put her well over 50%, and that will be the Democrats' second major flip. This is the state of Maine, where I think Sarah Gideon will beat Susan Collins, which brings our updated total. I'm going to actually also add in Arkansas here because their polls close at 7:30. As of now, the Senate race, this is 44 Democrats for 40 Republicans, and that is through the 7/7:30 hour. So we move to the 8 o'clock hour, where I think this will be the big defining hour for both the presidential level and the Senate races. The partial states that have closed will finish the rest of their polling closes in Kansas, Michigan, South Dakota, Texas, as well as we see Arizona, Colorado, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Louisiana, North and South Dakota, Wyoming, New York, New Mexico, as well as the state of Wisconsin polls close. So I'm going to go through the states that had part of their polls close first, and that was Kansas, Michigan, South Dakota, and Texas. And the presidential level first, we're going to see Trump take Kansas and South Dakota, as well as I think he takes the state of Texas. I think it's a lot closer than it should be for Trump, but I do think that he does end up carrying the day in the state of Texas. I'm also going to add in a whole bunch of these deep red states like Louisiana, North Dakota, Wyoming, and then I'm going to also add to the Democrats column the state of New York, New Mexico. Republicans thought they could challenge in New Mexico, but they're not. I'm also going to give Joe Biden the state of Colorado as it blues more and more. And then I'm going to get to some of these swing states here. I'm going to leave Arizona as a toss-up here because I think it's super competitive. Minnesota, I am going to give to Joe Biden because as we watched the 2018 elections, we saw that there was kind of a big swing back to the Democratic column. Despite it being super close in 2016, I think that the Democrats will win the state of Minnesota, both in the presidential level as well as the Senate level. The state of Nebraska is another one that's kind of like Maine, where they add up electoral college votes by congressional district. So I am giving Trump the whole state, as well as Nebraska's first and third congressional districts. The second congressional district is a toss-up. That is the Omaha-based congressional district. I am also going to give the state of Michigan to Joe Biden. Out of all the blue wall states, Michigan is the one that has the most favorability for Democrats. It's the state that I think comes back the hardest. But that leaves our electoral college vote count at 181 for Donald Trump and 160 for Joe Biden. On the Senate side of that hour, two states that I think Trump wins kind of easily. There are going to be a couple Senate races that I think are much closer than they should be, that being the state of Texas. I think Cornyn actually wins it by quite a bit, but people think that it seems to be close there. The other is the state of Kansas, where Barbara Beaulieu is trying to be the first Democrat in a long, long time to win a seat in the state of Kansas, and it is a nail-biter. Both of those states, I think the Republicans pull out. I think Democrats end up holding Minnesota and Michigan, despite some Republicans thinking they can win there. The other two states that are big news here are Colorado and Arizona. So Colorado, as many people know, has been blueing for a while. John Hickenlooper, the former governor, will flip that seat over incumbent Cory Gardner. And in Arizona, Mark Kelly, former astronaut, will unseat appointed Senator Martha McSally. It's not really been close the entire race. Mark Kelly hasn't made any mistakes. He's raised so much money, and he's running far ahead of the presidential ticket. So while I think it's toss-up at the presidential level, I think the Democrats will flip the state of Arizona in the Senate race. So at this moment in the Senate race, I have it at 49 Democrats in the Senate for Democrats and 46 seats for the Republicans. The 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, et cetera, rest of the hours are not very exciting at the presidential level. I don't think Iowa is one that is different there, but kind of the rest of the states at the presidential level, you kind of know which way they're going to go. Not too surprising or shouldn't be surprising. First, let's do 9 o'clock, Iowa. While I do think it's close at the moment, I think Trump ends up pulling it out at the end. I think he wins Montana, as well as the state of Utah. I think Democrats win the state of Nevada, just as they did in 2016. Partials close in Idaho and Oregon, but we're not going to hit those until the next hour when they fully close. But in the presidential level, after the 9 o'clock poll closings, I have it at for Donald Trump, 196 electoral votes, and Joe Biden, 166. But even though the presidential level is not very exciting in those states, the Senate is extremely exciting in those states. Not the state of Idaho, necessarily, but the states of Montana and Iowa both have super close toss-up Senate elections. In the state of Iowa, Teresa Greenfield is trying to unseat Joni Ernst. Ernst hasn't necessarily run her most outstanding campaign, and Teresa Greenfield has run a pretty mistake-free, solid campaign and is running a few points, I think, probably ahead of Joe Biden there. In the state of Montana, Governor Steve Bullock is trying to unseat incumbent Senator Steve Daines, the Battle of the Steves in Montana. It's neck and neck. It's always a point or two in every poll in the state of Montana. The reason why I think Steve Bullock actually has a chance in this one is that in 2016, when he was running for re-election on the same ballot as Donald Trump, Trump wins the state of Montana by 20-ish points. And Steve Bullock also wins re-election there as governor. So he's already shared a ballot with Trump. And there's at least that 20-ish point crossover vote for Steve Bullock that he has a chance to snag this time around. In 2018, John Tester won re-election as a Democrat in Montana. Even with a Green Party person on the ballot, he got over 50% of the vote there. The one problem for Steve Bullock this time around is that there is no Libertarian candidate and no Green Party, etc. It is simply a one-on-one election with Steve Daines, the incumbent. So in my gut, I think Democrats probably split these. You can make one or the other. My gut just tells me that Montana is the better get for Democrats, just because they are strong with the Native American tribes, obviously in the state capital. In my gut, if I had to pick one of the two, I think it's going to be Montana. So I am going to predict that Democrats flip Montana, but the Republicans hold Iowa. Although I could easily see Democrats winning Iowa as well. That would make the Senate count 50 Democrats, which if they were to win the presidential election and none of the other races went their way, it would be their Senate, and 48 for the Republicans. Another non-exciting hour is the 10 o'clock hour, but we'll see Oregon and Idaho finish closing, as well as California, Hawaii, and Washington, as well as Idaho. So we can fill in those states. I don't think anybody really thinks any of those is competitive. The state of Alaska will not close until the next hour. So I'll just go ahead and add them in here. They close at 11 p.m. and midnight, and we'll go for Donald Trump in the presidential level. That means, as of now, leaving my toss-up states out of it, at the presidential level, I have Trump with 203 and Joe Biden with 244. Obviously, he got a big boost from that kind of West Coast wall, as it is with 55 electoral votes from California and then Oregon and Washington as well. In that hour of the Senate, not too exciting. Oregon is the only one that's safe there, as well as Idaho. The state of Alaska has a tantalizingly close election in the Senate, I think. Dr. Al Gross, who is an independent running on the Democratic ticket there, trying to unseat Dan Sullivan. I think he's run a great race, Al Gross. I've covered kind of his story a little bit earlier in other episodes. Although I do think in the end that Republicans end up holding that Alaska seat. But I think the final count will be in the Senate, 51 Democratic seats and 49 Republican seats, with the caveat that I think that both of those Georgia Senate elections go to the 9-week runoff in January 5th, which means that obviously we will not know until after that January 3rd swearing in who actually wins those final seats and what the final count will be. But that is the Senate final prediction, 51-49 for Democrats, although I could easily see anywhere from 50-50, perhaps to 53 votes for Democrats. I don't really see much more than that, but I think it'd be really terrible night if Democrats didn't get to at least 50 seats in the U.S. Senate. So we'll get back to the Electoral College, the main event. We've gone through the entire poll closings, the states that I have left that I think are the closest and toss-up states. We're going Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, and then the second congressional districts in both Nebraska and Maine. At the moment, the count is 244 to 203. Although I think Trump gets a bit of good news here when he takes the state of Florida. It's been a state that, while it's always been a swing state, Republicans just have the edge somehow. We've seen that in the past couple cycles. Bill Nelson lost his reelection in the Senate in 2018 to Governor Rick Scott. I also think that he wins the states of Arizona and North Carolina. Both of those states were relatively close in 2016. Trump won Arizona by 3.5 and North Carolina by 3.6. I think that the fact that there's other Democratic candidates in positions will hurt Joe Biden here, because in Arizona they'll feel like they can split their ticket and vote for Mark Kelly in the Senate race, and then in North Carolina they can vote for Roy Cooper in the governor's race and Cal Cunningham in the Senate race, and then still feel like they were good and voted Trump in the presidential level. So with those states added in, it becomes 258 to 244. I see the state of Pennsylvania going for Joe Biden. He is from the city of Scranton in northeastern Pennsylvania, and I think that's where he makes up the difference that Hillary Clinton could not last time around. Obviously, he's going to dominate Philly and kind of the Pittsburgh. I think Trump does better in western Pennsylvania than he did last time, but I think he really struggles in the eastern half of Pennsylvania, so I am giving the state of Pennsylvania to Joe Biden. So, here with two states and two congressional districts to go, it is 264 to 258. That is Joe Biden over Donald Trump at the moment. I am going to split the congressional districts. I'm going to give Nebraska's second congressional district to Joe Biden. That's the Omaha-based district. And then I'm going to give Maine's second district to Trump. I think Jared Golden, the Democratic rep there, is one of those beneficiaries of the split tickets. And then I'm also going to give the state of New Hampshire to Joe Biden as well. Hillary Clinton won it, so I think Joe Biden wins it as well. That puts us at Joe Biden 269, Donald Trump, 259. That leaves the state of Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton famously did not go there in 2016 in the closing days, and Donald Trump won it by around 28,000-ish votes. Gary Johnson got 106,000 votes there, Jill Stein got 30, and then another 15,000 from kind of other minor party candidates as well. And I think that's what the election comes down to. If Trump wins this, it will go to a 269-269 tie, in which it'll go to the House. And Republicans currently hold more states in the House. But I think in the end, we don't have to worry about that, as I believe the state of Wisconsin goes for Joe Biden. That will bring the final electoral count in this 2020 election to 279 for Joe Biden and 259 for Donald Trump. And that is in the what I think is conservative case for Joe Biden. I think it's also possible he wins a bunch of those states, but I think this is probably the, in a close election, this is the most realistic scenario. But just to recap, Joe Biden will win the Electoral College 279-259, while the Democrats will take control of the Senate by controlling 51 seats to Republicans 49. Thank you for listening to this prediction episode of the Just Above Average podcast. And another final prediction is that a week from today, I'm recording this on the Wednesday, the 28th of October, that we will start to hear Republicans talked about deficits again and debt spending. It didn't seem to bother them the entire 4 years Donald Trump was in office, but man, I think they're about to rediscover their fiscal conservatism real fast once they lose. But thanks again for listening in. This is Dominic here on the Just Above Average podcast.